Hey, hey, Sanford here, and welcome to Sanford's Unlock to Unleash EMP podcast. We are all about unlocking the stuff. You know, we are about, you know, getting rid of the fear and the shame and the embarrassment. And we want to talk about these things and bring them out into the open. My mission and purpose in life is to help guide our youth into a better stream of consciousness. Into, in other words, to get real, raw, and truthful with themselves, all right? And of course, if they won't get real or raw, truthful with themselves, then it's up to us as teachers, as coaches, as leaders, and of course, as their very first teachers, the parents, to get real and raw with ourselves so we can start to set the example, and then of course, add the discipline to ourselves and add the disciplines to our youth so they can see that life is about change. Life is about shifting. You know, I remember when I was younger, my dad had a very violent temper and he was going through a lot that, of course, I didn't understand as a kid. But then I seen him make that transformation, that change over the years, which showed such a vulnerable side of him and a more loving side of him, an honest side of him. So it can be done if we as parents, coaches, teachers step up to be that example. And then, of course, inside of our youth, there is that example. There's that rawness, realness, and truthfulness inside of them. It's just that society has twisted and shaped it and pulled it all out and threw it on a curve and told them that it doesn't matter. Okay? So, you know, we have to get to recognize our flaws and our imperfections so our youth are more connected to that truth within themselves and that the imperfections and the flaws within themselves. And so this is all about letting go and working together so we can heal, not blaming, not fearing, and not warring amongst ourselves. Well, as I said before, my name is Sanford, and welcome to podcast number 6. And today's topic is titled, Toxic Behavior, Old and New, Helps to Make Us Who We Choose to Be. Now, I don't look at toxic behavior or toxic actions or toxic whatever you want to say as a bad word. You know, it's not a bad thing to me because all these things help to shape who we are. And, you know, I just want to give you a little example. I caught up with a former girlfriend, and we had a great talk, and we exposed some things, shared some things, opened up. But I found out that she was hiding a lot of things from me, and that did not come as a surprise to me because that's how I used to be before I met her, you know. And but I chose to share everything with her, you know. It wasn't the most ideal situation, but I did choose to share everything in my life with her, and it felt great. It felt great. And she also wanted to remind me that some of my old friends were asking about me, but they wanted me not to be so in their lives, you know, not prying so much into their lives, not asking so many serious questions, not, you know, being interested and curious about their lives. But you know what? That's not who I am. Before I met her, I said, okay, I can make that shift. But, you know, that is not being who I am. That's toxic behavior in itself, being who you're not, practicing who you're not. And so I had to just, you know, let that sink in as she was explaining it to me and then go away and think about it. And you know what? I'm growing. I'm shifting. I'm changing. And if the friends around me don't want to grow, shift, and change with me, in other words, don't want to accept me for who I am and all that I give and all that I love and all that I share, then they're not the friends for me. It's really, truly that simple, even though it's a hard concept to get your head around sometimes. And another point I want to make is, you know, my former wife, you know, she said, I'm picking up my daughter next week. And she said, look, she's going to be spending the night at someone's house. You know, you can pick her up there, but don't be late. Like, you know, like she's my mother. And perhaps in the past, it might have been her role. I might have been not strong enough to be able to be confident in myself and show up when I was supposed to. But, you know, that's the old me. That sort of toxic behavior, toxic process in myself and letting that go on is no more. You know, that's no more. And a lot of times what I'm saying here is that people want to keep you in that old paradigm, that old you, that old stuff, because they're not able to let it go. And that's how they remember you. And, you know, the strangest thing about our mind, it's there. It's really set up, you know, to really grasp information, take in information. But is not there to keep all the crap memories, okay? It's there so we don't make the same mistakes, you know, like if you're crossing the street and the traffic is going across really quickly, you're gonna learn quickly that you're not supposed to be out there. So that's what it's all about. That's what the memory, the brain is all about. It's not meant to hang on to negative, destructive, self-explosive stuff, okay? And so it's very important that you understand that toxic behaviors, old and new, are there to create a stronger you, help you make you a stronger you, okay? So I just wanted to mention that straight up front. But let's get into the topic today. Of course, I am an athlete and performing artist by trade. In other words, through study, experience, and an unwavering commitment to practice, give away, and follow my God-given gifts, I have spent most of my life studying, cultivating, creating, experimenting with choreography, competing, coaching, teaching, and learning sports and performing arts. My competitive years in sports were in American football. Now I say American football because if you travel around the world, football means different things in different places. And you know, when you get out there, if you study that, you're going to learn that. So it was American football. It was gridiron, as they say in the UK and in Australia. Other sports were basketball, track and field. And I excelled in a sport that I did not originally want to do, but I ended up going, being a national champion, a national coach, an international champion, international coach in the competitive cheerleading world, which I owe that sport a lot. And so I have such passion for cheerleading and those athletes and coaches involved. In the performing arts field, I excelled and worked professionally as an actor, a dancer, an acrobat, and a stuntman. Again, with performing arts, it gave me the opportunity to travel around the world and learn so much. Not only did I work in TV, movies, fashion shows, been on billboards and in commercials, I even got to run away and join the circus for many years. And I created, directed, and produced many of my own independent projects and shows. Out of the people I have dealt with and experienced, I had experienced prior to 2014, nothing was preparing me or could prepare me for my own emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical downfall. My business at the time went bankrupt. I became divorced, homeless. I was estranged from my family. Those people that called themselves my friends or that I called my friends weren't anywhere around, okay? And I was in a strange country. I say a strange country, a whole new country, with nobody to turn to or trust. With all my knowledge and experience, none of it helped, and I was on the verge of suicide. And everything that I had built and done was my own doing and undoing, and I had to recognize that. And it's what one of my favorite speakers and mentors talks about, Lisa Nichols. She calls this dark behaviors, or I call it toxic behaviors. Okay, Lisa Nichols is an entrepreneur, best-selling author, and motivational speaker. You know, and she talks about these dark behaviors, or as I call them, toxic behaviors, in four ways, in that they catch up with us and break us down and break us apart if we're not having the honest conversations. Okay, and these four destructors of our lives, of our mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and physical health are protect, prove, hide, and defend. Protect, prove, hide, and defend. When we are growing up, each of our lives has its own share of abuses, mishaps, traumas, tragedies, you know, accidents, stuff we have done that haunts us and follows us. As we get older, if it doesn't kill us, you know, when we're young, or if we don't deal with it and start to heal it when we're older, as we become even older and adults, we learn to hide these things very well. We learn to protect ourselves. We learn to prove and defend very creatively and manipulative these processes. Basically, you know, it's called escapism. You know, we become very good at it. We practice these four dark or toxic behaviors. We try to protect ourselves from feeling and acting as if it doesn't matter. We try to prove to ourselves or others that we are good. Look at everything that I've accomplished. Look at all my stuff. We hide our pain behind keeping busy, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, work, etc., etc. We defend our position and refuse to even look at what may be causing our self-abuse, our self-destruction, our self-doubt, even the pain that we're bringing into other people's lives. Before I did something that I could not undo in 2014, which I told you I was on the verge of suicide, I had to really look and step back at what I was doing, how I needed to take responsibility for what was occurring, how I needed to get around people who had either been through what I was going through, going through what I was going through, or wanted to help me through what I was experiencing, okay? And I thought, how many other youth are going through this process of starting to build their wall of dark and toxic behaviors? And since I was an athlete and a performing artist, I wanted to focus on youth in that space. And so I do. I wanted to help young athletes and performing artists become aware, informed, inspired, and open to healing before they became adults or older adults full of pride, ego. You know, when I say pride, I don't mean happy pride. I mean that pride of not wanting to shift, not wanting to change. It's easy. We get stuck in that not wanting to change, even though things change around us every day. And then, of course, our ego and our fear takes over. We don't want to expose ourselves, and we just want to hide. And the more we hide, the darker our thoughts, the darker we get on the inside, and we can't really truly open up. And a lot of people say we can't trust other people. It's not about trusting other people. It's about trusting yourself. You can't trust yourself. But let me tell you this, our Creator has blessed us. I don't care what you call it, Creator, God, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, whatever you call that greaterness. You know that there's a greatness in the world that keeps it all together, keeps it rolling, that gave us life, that gave us arms, that gave us eyes, that gave us legs, that gave us a heartbeat. That Creator wouldn't give us the stuff that we go through if we couldn't handle it. And we're not meant to hide from other people. We're not meant to hide these things. We're meant to open up about these things so we can grow, shift, and move through those toxic behaviors to shape who we want to be. Who only truly wakes up? Okay, who only truly wakes up? We all wake up. But the question is, do we wake up now, later, or as we're dying? That's the question. That's the question. And that's why I do what I do, so I can help wake people up now. And let me get this clear. Let me make this clear. I'm not in the business of saving people. I'm in the business of waking up people. I'm a messenger. I wouldn't be using my voice if I wasn't gifted it. I wouldn't be using my words if I wasn't gifted them. I wouldn't be speaking on this podcast if I wasn't gifted the ability to put it together and to sit here and do it with you guys. Okay? So after I hit rock bottom, because, you know, people either get really inspired to make a shift or they hit rock bottom, I hit rock bottom. So I began in 2014 to go to psychologists, to do courses, to go to seminars, weekend workshops, and even hypnotherapist to go back to where a lot of this began. And look, some of it began in my childhood, but some of it I gathered over time of not trusting people, not staying true to my word, letting people manipulate me, letting people shift my own thinking process and my own intuitive feeling about the direction and the person I wanted to be. So almost 4 years later, after many setbacks, I came out of my past stronger, knowing who I am again, and with a workbook. I wrote a workbook with the steps that I took to heal and that put me on the path to wanting to help youth. The workbook is called the same name as the podcast, Unlock Your Hidden Fear to Unleash Your Extraordinary Potential, or Unlock to Unleash for short. Now, before I go any further, I want to just clarify toxic and toxic relationships. According to Dr. Abigail Brenner, she's an MD, toxic is obviously not a formal psychology term, but rather is a descriptive of how people often feel dealing with certain individuals, including ourselves. Toxic behavior, toxic Toxic describes interaction where boundaries are often blurred, where individuals or others' behaviors are felt to be difficult, challenging, demanding, often contradictory, and adversarial. Toxic relationships are not fueled by mutual care or support. Not only do others not support or care for us, but we don't support or care for ourselves, building those toxic relationships, okay? And so it's being able to care and support yourself, and a lot of times we don't do that very well, and we blame everybody else. The lack of mutual care and support is often skewed to accommodate the toxic behavior needs and demands. So we give all of our power, all of ourselves to these toxic behaviors, their needs, okay? And toxic behaviors need us to be negative. It needs us to complain. It needs us to be sick. It needs us to think negatively. It needs us to think how bad our lives are, how much of a victim we are. It demands of us to be less than we truly are. It demands of us to be less than our extraordinary potential. Needless to say, Dr. Brenner says these are not healthy relationships, and often whether another individual or self on purpose or not, toxic behavior chips away at equality, self-love, and confidence of the person that we want to be. And of course, this participation corrupts whether or not we are in a good place or we're in a bad place. In my experience and research, I discovered more than 50 ways we protect, prove, hide, and defend. I will only look at 10 of these today. The first five I will just touch on, but I will give a little bit more in depth on the last five. And you'll see these first 10 are similar, but I will still give a little bit more on the last five. What I am talking about here, they don't teach in school, okay? And so It's no surprise to anyone who's been listening and following me on Instagram, my Facebook Live programs, my podcast, that I'm not a big advocate of the school system, okay? Not a big advocate at all. I am a cheerleader for teachers, a cheerleader for coaches, a cheerleader for leaders who understand that conformity is death. Conformity kills creativity. Conformity kills critical thinking. Conformity kills the growth of healing in the world, okay? And schools don't teach this. They're not going to teach this. And they don't teach you how powerful toxic relationships are. They don't teach you how powerful the behavior of limiting and destroying ourselves destroys, of course, everything we do. And of course, here I'm talking about sports and performing arts, okay? So there's no way we can possibly excel in those things if we hang on to these toxic behaviors in a negative way and not using them to fuel our lives. A guy that I have listened to and followed for the last 2 years says this. This guy named, by the way, is Gary Vee. He's an entrepreneur, a media expert, and speaker. Says, I didn't fail school. School failed me. School fails entrepreneurs every day. Because it's not built for entrepreneurs, it's built for workers. And I totally agree, because creativity, entrepreneurship, thinking, and expression was never, ever taught in my school. When we are taught to think like a worker, we wait for others to tell us who we are. We wait for others to solve our problems. We look for the easy road, and we get stuck in a comfort zone. Most people never reach their full potential when they think like a worker. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to have a job. I'm not saying that at all. Some people want to be led. Some people want to finish their job and go home. But even in that process, there's other things that those people are capable of. There's other things that are rich inside of them that's waiting to come out. When we think like an entrepreneur, we become a problem solver, an innovator, a creator, a collaborator. We tend to think outside the box. We tend to fail more, but we also reach our full potential or die trying. Both have their pros and cons, but I also believe we should be taught in school how to be a worker, how to work for your stuff, how to hit sweat, how to really dig in, how to give everything you got, and to be an entrepreneur, how to be creative, how to work smarter, how to invest, how to save, how to collaborate. Entrepreneurial thinking. This is what I do for our youth. I help them create entrepreneurial thinking. All right. Now, I am by no means a financial whiz yet, but I will be, but I'm on my way. But I still, coming from the sports and performing arts area, I am a creator, I am an innovator, I'm a collaborator. That's what I do, that's what I love, that's what I've done so well over these last 35 years of teaching and coaching and performing and being an athlete. Today, I still coach, mentor, and speak to athletes, performing artists, but I do utilize experimental processes I developed through the Unlock to Unleash. The process that I use is called EMPC, Emotional, Mental, and Physical Consciousness. I teach athletes and performing artists by inspiring them, challenging them to commit and connect to their greatest gifts, to what's inside of them. I really shake them up if they're not being used to being shook up. I help them to strive for who they can be. The first five ways we get lost in our dark or toxic behavior, okay, are, I'll just go over them just briefly, okay, and then of course you can do the math of the process in your head, as I mentioned them, because they're pretty straightforward. You know, they would be common sense, but as we all have learned in life, what's common to another is not common to someone else, okay? So the first toxic or dark behavior is comparing yourself to others. How can you compare yourself to others and discover your greatest potential and discover who you are? Participating in drama. If you are thinking drama, you will get drama. If you are being drama, you will give out drama, okay? Negative self-talk. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. If you're talking negative, your brain will pick that up, and then your brain will to sift that down into your body, and then your actions will be negative, and then you will receive negative, okay? Seeking validation from others. We all want love. We all want to be cared for. We all need people, even though our society is teaching and preaching fear and that we don't need a man, I don't want a woman, they're all B's and they're all D's, you know, whatever. Our society is really teaching that, really breaking us apart, and we're buying into that sort of consumerism thinking of get mine and the rest of y'all get your own. I'm all by myself. I'm all by myself, you know. What's the expression? No man is an island. Neither is a woman. We're all powerful, and we're more powerful together. But we're starting to buy in, you know, now that scientists are starting to click into things. Now science says, well, you know, you should do this and do that and do this. Science and consumerism is our new religion nowadays. And so we're losing our intuition and our intuitive way of feeling and thinking and loving and caring and sharing. Okay. And the last one here is people pleasing. Okay. We can go overboard now. We can go overboard and just please them, not share with people, not share with our man, not share with our woman, not, you know, I heard this the other day from a speaker, Cleo something. He's a gospel preacher on television, but I resonated with it. And he said to the woman, there was a man and woman there, and they were being talked to by him. And he said to the woman, how he treats you, she's talking about her husband, is none of your business. And he said to the man, how she treats you is none of your business. It's how you treat each other, how he treats her, how she treats him. If both of them are doing that, then they're going to be successful. They're going to excel in their life together. And, you know, I say the same thing to my athletes. I'm teaching athletes how to juggle. You know, I'm doing workshops to teach how to juggle. I always say when they're doing partner juggling, don't focus on the catch from the other person. Focus on your throw. When you focus on your throw and you're both focusing on a wonderful, perfect, precise throw, I can guarantee you the catch is going to be there. It's the same thing in our relationships. When we're focusing on what we're giving that person, not stuck in our past, not stuck in our head, not stuck on what they did, what they said, then we're going to give the perfect pass and we're going to have the perfect catch. All right? Okay, these final five, you know, since we're running short on time here, I'm just going to do, I'll give them to you, and then I will to, I'll give a little bit more explanation just on one of them, okay? And look, folks, I'd love for you to comment about this podcast. If you think it helped you, if you resonated with it, please comment and share with your friends, share with your families. The only way these podcasts are going to grow is if you guys keep hitting me up, letting me know what you need and what you want to hear and if it's resonating for you and if you're sharing it out. So please comment, share, give me feedback. I need your feedback. The only way I'm going to grow is to know what you're feeling, what you're thinking out there. So please share. And of course, you can also hit me up on my Instagram page, Sanford McMurray, and Facebook page, again, Sanford McMurray. You'll see it under Unlock to Unleash, okay? Also, I do a Facebook Live every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and it's on different topics, dealing with youth, dealing with behaviors, dealing with strengths, dealing with weaknesses, dealing with love, life, all those wonderful things, so check it out there. Okay, so the other five toxic behaviors. And remember, again, I don't look at toxic behavior as just a bad thing. I look at it as something that's going to strengthen us for the long run. These little bumps, these little grinds, these little terrible, quote-unquote, terrible things help to mold us and shape us into that diamond that we are all meant to be, okay? So number six here, a sense of entitlement. That's a huge thing that we believe that we should be given things. Just because someone else has it, we think people should jump when we say jump. Okay, that's all a sense of entitlement. When we get up and turn the water on in the morning on the tap, we think it should be there. That's a sense of entitlement. You know, there are some countries, people ain't got no water. They got to get out to the water hole and get two buckets. Let me tell you this, when you have to carry your own water, every drop counts. Okay, passing judgment on others. How many of us do that? Put your hand in the air. I've been guilty of that myself, okay? It's pretty self-explanatory. It's hard to do because we've been caught up in that behavior for such a long time. Arrogance. Look, with arrogance, we can't get caught up in it, okay? Basically, the way I look at arrogance is that we think we're better than other people. No one's better than us, and no one's worse than us. We all have the same capabilities. When I say the same capabilities, we all have our strengths that we're supposed to strive for, okay? And if we're lost in just thinking we're better than someone, then we're never going to shift and learn from those people that come across our paths. You know, I think the people that trigger us in life, they're there to open us up and to break down those points where we do get arrogant, because I think we all get arrogant. I think there's a bit of arrogance and ego that's needed to really step up on those tough days, when people are putting you down, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling upset, you need that sort of arrogant tinge or that ego to lift yourself back up. But we just need to be aware of it. And being overly competitive, okay? If you're always competing against people, that's got to be exhausting, okay? There's a time to compete. There's a time to compete. Save it for the floor. Save it for the field. Save it for the mat. You know, save it for the marathon. You know, I'm not saying don't train hard. Train hard. Work hard. Compete against yourself when you're training. Okay? Have friendly competition with your team, but also help each other grow. Help each other grow is very crucial. Okay, the last one I want to talk about is selfishness, okay? I'm going to give a little bit more detail in that, and I'm going to move on for today. You guys, I got to tell you, I've been loved talking to you guys. It's been fantastic talking to you in this sixth podcast. I'm going to be doing a lot more this year, so I hope you guys stick around for those. So selfishness, okay? Here's a bit of a breakdown with selfishness, all right? But selfishness is one of the biggest factors in selfish behavior. But basically what it is fear, which is an obsession of not achieving goals, but it's a behavior that plays out on the field, the court, or the mat. It's played out in the classroom, at work, and most definitely at home. A conscious coach knows it's not the end of the world, but it can be damaging to the team and, in the long run, to that athlete or performer in the future. Okay, so there are seven practices that make an athlete or performing artist selfish, okay? And again, I'm just focused on the athlete and the performing artist because that's my focus for our youth, okay? And this, of course, can be across the board. So selfish teammates blame their coaches and team, okay? So these are people that are always blaming everybody else. Selfish teammates or performers make every excuse in the world, every excuse. You know, sun's too bright, microwave too slow. Excuse after excuse after excuse, okay? Selfish teammates could care less about their teammates' success. Only their success is important and not their teammates'. In order for your teammates' success to be important, you've got to give up a part of you, okay? Selfish teammates put in a minimum time with marginal effort. How come I don't have my skills? You know, I deserve them just as much as that other person. Well, how much time have you put in? How many times have you fallen? How much effort? How many great questions have you asked? Selfish teammates know it. They know it all. They contemplate quitting when things are tough. How many of you know people that if things aren't going their way, they just want to wait? They just want to walk away. They just want to quit. They want to give up. They close down. They shut down. Hey, I remember that. I've been there, okay? I'm not throwing casting stones. I've been there. I know, okay? So this is selfish. Selfish teammates are always tired and busy. You hear that in our society so much. I am so tired. What are you tired of? I can guarantee you, you're going to get plenty of sleep when you're dead. Plenty, all right? And tired and busy. How can you possibly be busy? Is your busy being productive? Is your busy making you a better person? Is your busy helping somebody else? Is your busy improving your inside and your out? And then the last one, I hear this one all the time, is I'm so bored. How can you possibly be bored? You got two eyes. You got a nose. You got a mouth. You got ears. Smell more. Look more. Hear more. Touch. Work out more. Help someone across the street. Talk to your dog. Get along with your brother, argue with your sister, whatever. How can you possibly be bored? Selfish teammates look out for themselves. Number one, before anyone else. Okay, so those are just seven ways that selfishness can be destructive through that toxic process. Okay, and I just want to recommend a couple of books. So if you want to read up on how to approach selfishness and these 10 toxic behaviors that I talked about, which was comparing yourself to others, participating in drama, negative self-talk, seeking validation of others, people-pleasing, sense of entitlement, passing judgment on others, arrogance, being overly competitive, and of course, lastly, selfishness. A couple of books that I've read and that I want to suggest. One would be Wooden, okay? It was about John Wooden, one of the most winningest basketball coaches in the NCAA. He was a coach of UCLA in California. The book was written by John Wooden and Steve Johnson, okay? And then Grit by Angela Duckworth, okay? So these are two books that I've read, and I'd recommend them highly. Okay, so look, folks, that is it for today. Thank you all for popping in and listening to today's podcast, podcast number 6. Remember, you are always going to have challenges, painful situations, and there will always be suffering. Allow yourself to remember nothing very, very good or very, very bad lasts a very, very long time. So tell the truth and at least don't lie, as Jordan Peterson says. You can do this. Face it, ask for help, and move forward, and always, always love your mission. Peace. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you very much for popping in.